Jesus, we are so grateful for who you are and what you do in our lives. We thank you for the people that you put in our lives. And we thank you for your power that helps us to love them better. We pray for your grace to be evident today. And again, we just thank you for your word in Jesus' name.
感谢你赐给我们话语，奉耶稣基督名祷告。
Amen. I teach introductory and advanced Bible study at New Hope Christian College.
我在这个新希望圣经学院教导初阶跟进阶的圣经课程。
A fundamental exercise that we do is examining the historical context of the books of the Bible.
学生要学习的就是怎么样在研经的时候，查考这些历史的背景。
Our primary textbook is, of course, the Bible.
那么我们的主要课本当然就是圣经。
And then we do some research in New Testament introductions and Bible encyclopedias and such like that.
然后我们就会做一些，又包括用一些研经的书籍、新约的字典等等。
But today, since we have such a short book, I figured we could do this exercise somewhat together today.
今天我们要看的经文其实是一整本很短的书，所以我想说我们可以用这个机会一起来看一看研经的学习这样一本书是怎么样做的。
If you don't have an actual paper Bible, I hope that you have one of the copies that we printed out for you.
我希望大家手上都有一份腓利门书。如果你没有圣经的话呢，你可以Wendy 可以给你一份影印。
Yeah, can you bring one up here?
好，拿一个到前面来，谢谢。
This is my copy, and this is what they look like when you're done.
所以做完所有的研究结果之后，应该要像这个样子。
The reason I printed out like this is because I changed the color code when I first started.
所以一开始的时候我就有这个把不同的字标上不同的颜色。
So I don't like to color in my Bible because it never matches and then I get all confused.
那当然我不会直接画在我的圣经上，因为可能每次会不一样，所以我会很疑惑。
So I print it out and that's what you guys have today.
所以我就把它另外印一份出来给你们。
A few months ago, I can't remember, maybe even years ago, I talked to you guys about an acronym that I use for examining the historical context.
有一次我在讲到的时候提到有一个缩写，就是一个字的不同字母缩写，帮助我们想起来在查经的时候要注意到四件事情。
And we call that, I teach it as parts of the book.
Parts 就是部分，就是经文里面的部分。
And the idea there is we're going to be looking for the purpose, the author, the recipients, the themes,in the situation or the setting of the book.
那么 parts 这个字所代表的四个部分就是 purpose， 也就是目标，author 就是作者，还有收信的人是谁，然后what's R?
Recipients.
这是收信的人，然后最后就是情境。
Okay. And then today we're going to go through that, but we're going to change the order. We're actually going to start with the author today.
那今天我们就要看这四样东西，我们首先从作者开始看。
So if you look at your copy, what is the first thing you learn about?
请大家看一看你们的经文哈。
About the author.
那你们所看到的第一页就是，请问作者是谁呢
？Yeah, go ahead. He's Paul. Okay.
是保罗。
And
还有谁？除了保罗之外
，Paul and Timothy.
还有提摩太，对不对
？And what about Paul?
保罗的情况是什么
？Exactly.
他正在坐牢。
He is a prisoner.
他正在坐牢
right? Verse 1 and then verse 9 as well.
你们可以看到第一节跟第九节这样说。
Paul was under house arrest in Rome for offending the Jews.
那个时候他因为冒犯了犹太人正在罗马坐牢。
He offended them by proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah and that even though he was killed, he was raised to life.
他为什么会冒犯犹太人呢？因为他宣称耶稣基督是弥赛亚，而且他从死里复活。
This was, of course,offensive to the Jews, the Jewish leaders, because they killed Jesus.
这个当然对犹太人听起来是非常不开心的一件事情，因为就是他们把耶稣害死。
But we know something about Paul as well.
但是我们还学到有关保罗的一些事情。
Paul was a Jew.
他本身也是犹太人。
He was a Pharisee.
他是法利赛人。
He was a religious leader among the Jews.
他其实也是犹太人当中的宗教的这个领袖。
And he was offensive not only because he was proclaiming Christ as the Messiah, but also because he was proclaiming this to the Gentiles.
所以他冒犯了犹太人的原因，不只是因为他向犹太人宣称耶稣是弥赛亚，而是他还向外邦人传讲耶稣是弥赛亚。
And if we look at verse 9,
那我们看第九节
，Paul refers to himself as old.
他这边说他自己是一个老年人。
He's 57 years old.
他那个时候是大概57岁。
He's been a Christian for about 30 years.
他做基督徒做了30年。
For 30 years.
30年的时间。
He has risked his life.
他冒他生命的危险。
He has risked his relationship, his reputation.
冒着失去他名誉的危险。
And he has risked his relationships for the cause of Christ.
也冒着失去朋友家人的危险，就是为了要啊为基督耶稣传扬福音。
That's the author of this book.
这就是这本书的作者。
So now let's look at the recipients.
然后我们再来看读者是谁呢？
The primary recipient, of course, is Philemon.
主要收信人当然就是腓利门。
I say primary because if you look at it, it's also addressed to a couple other Christian leaders and the household that met in his, the church that met in his household.
有主要的收信人，还有其他的收信人，也就是其他的教会的领袖，还有在那个他家聚会的一些同工。
And I was excited to see that the Chinese kept the plural pronouns in verse 22.
在中文版圣经里面，在22节里面用的代名词是复数的。
Because yes, it's primarily directed to Philemon, but there were others who received the letter as well.
因为这个信不只是给腓利门一个人，还给其他的同工一起。
Philemon is an influential Christian leader.
腓利门是一个非常有影响力的基督徒领导。
He has a reputation for being a blessing to other Christians.
他常常的在祝福他身边的一些啊同工们。
We see that in verse 5 and verse 7.
我们看到里第五节跟第七节这么说。
Philemon has a large house.
他有一个很大的房子。
Capable of plenty of room for guests and ministry.
所以可以招待很多客人，还可以在那边有很多事工。
We see that in verse 2 and then again in verse 22.
我们看到第二节跟二十二节都这么说。
And we also learn that Philemon was a slave owner.
我们还知道就是他有一些奴隶的，他拥有一些奴隶。
Which this meant, to some degree, wealth.
这也就是代表他挺有钱的。
Now, we're not actually going to deal with the issue of slavery for two reasons.
我们今天不会细讲这个奴隶的问题。
One, primarily, because slavery has been abolished and we agree with that.
首先第一个原因是因为奴隶制度已经废除了，当然我们也都非常同意这个做法。
So in that regard, it's a non-issue to us.
所以现在已经不再是一个问题。
The other reason is because slavery then was significantly different than the slavery that we have in our minds, the brutality and the barbarianism.
另外一件事情就是当时社会的这个所谓奴隶制度跟我们现在所理解的奴隶制度是完全不一样的。我们现在想的是很不人道了，或者是虐待，但是呢，当时并不是这样。
So I'm just going to leave it that we all agree that slavery is bad.
所以我们以我们现在的理解来说，我们大家都同意 slavery 奴隶不好的。
But let's look at the situation.
但是我们来看这个情况是什么。
Onesimus is a slave.
就是有一个人叫做欧尼西姆，他是一个奴隶。
And he's being sent back to Philemon, the slave owner.
那个保罗让他回到腓利门那里去，也就是他的主人那里去。
Somehow Paul came in contact with Onesimus while Paul was in prison.
在保罗坐牢的时候，他遇到了这个奥尼西姆。
And if you look at verse 10,The word begotten there indicates that Paul had some sort of role in Onesimus's salvation.
那十节那边说呢，欧尼西姆是保罗在狱所困所中所生的儿子，这个就代表呢，他大概是传福音给他带他信主的人。
And now Paul is sending Onesimus back with this letter to Philemon.
现在保罗让欧尼西姆拿着这封信回到他以前的主人腓利门那里去。
This, of course.Directly is related to the purpose of the book.
这个就是这封信的目的。
We're going to read verses 8 through 20 aloud.
我们要一起读8到20节。
So, Chinese or English, whichever you prefer.
你可以读中文或英文都可以哈。
There's no PowerPoint, it's just printed out for you.
好，那我们一起读8到20节。我虽然靠着基督能放胆吩咐你合一的事，然而像我这有年纪的保罗，现在又是为基督耶稣被囚的，宁可凭着爱心求你，就是为我在捆锁中所生的儿子阿尼西摩求你。他从前与你没有益处，但如今与你我都有益处。我现在打发他亲自回到你那里去，他是我心上的人。 我本来有意将他留下，在我为福音所受的捆锁中替你伺候我，但不知道你的意思，我就不愿意这样行，叫你的善行不是出于勉强，乃是出于甘心。他暂时离开你，或者是叫你永远得着他，不再是奴仆，乃是高过奴仆，是亲爱的兄弟，在我实在是如此，何况在你呢？这也不拘是按肉体说，是按主说。你若以我为同伴，就收纳他，如同收纳我一样。他若亏负你或欠你什么，都归在我的账上，我必偿还。这是我保罗亲笔写的，我必不用对你说，连你自己也是亏欠我。兄弟啊，望你使我在主里因你得快乐，并望你使我的心在基督里得畅快。
If you look at verse 17, it carries a clear statement of purpose.
如果你看十七节，你就会看到这封信的主要目的。
Accept or receive him as you would receive me.
叫腓利门要接纳这个阿尼西姆，好像接纳保罗一样。
Paul wants Philemon to regard Onesimus no longer as a slave, but now as a brother in the Lord.
保罗要腓利门不要再把阿尼西姆当作是一个奴仆，而是把他当成一个弟兄。
Paul is expecting there to be a change in the relationship.
因为保罗希望在他们两个中间的关系会改变。
So let's look at some of the themes.
我们来看这封信的主题是什么。
Look at verses 1 through 3.
第一节到第三节说。
How many uses of the word our do you see?
你看到了几次我们呢？Three times, four times, five times? 有五次吗?
Yeah, clearly he's doing something intentionally, right?
可见他是有意思要这么说的，因为他重复了一个字这么多次。
Paul says, our brother.
他先说我们的弟兄。
Our beloved brother.
我们亲爱的弟兄。
Our sister.
我们的妹子。
Our fellow soldier.
我们一起同当兵的。
And of course, our Father.
还有我们的父神。
Do you remember what Jesus said in talking to his disciples about family members?
记不记得耶稣在教导有关家人的关系的时候，耶稣说了什么？
Who is my mother and who are my brothers?
他说谁是我的母亲跟兄弟呢？
Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers."
他就指着他的门徒说，这些就是我的兄弟和母亲。
Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother.
只要是行我父旨意在地上如同在天上，就是我的家人。
The true family of God are those who are in Christ.
真正的在主内的家庭就是主内弟兄姐妹。
There's another repeated word in here.
这边还有另外一个字是不停重复的。
It's used as kind of a prefix, and that is fellow.
对，就是一个字的前字根，我不知道那叫什么，就是前面的一个小小部分，然后那个字就是同工
，fellow worker，
就是比如说同工或者是
fellow soldier，
同当兵的
，fellow prisoner，
一起坐牢的
，and then fellow workers again，
然后之后又讲了一个同工。
This is a special kind of prefix in the Greek，
在希腊文里面这是一个哈前缀，在希腊文里面这是一个特别的前缀字。
I have no idea. Sorry, can't help you at all. yeah, it's a prefix in the Greek, and it marks an associative relationship.
这个前缀在希腊文里面就是指出了一个特别的between words or between people,
not just people but other things as well. Associative relationship.
就是把两个东西、两个人或两件事连在一起。
With people, though, however, it commonly notes an association with a common purpose.
但如果说是用在两个人中间，比如说同工或者同当兵的，那么就是意思就是说两个人有共同的目标。
A joint participation in some sort of cause.
就是他们两个一起在为了同样一件事情而努力。
We would call fellow believers.
我们会说我们同当信徒的。
Those who have joined us in the cause of Christ.
那么同工呢，就是跟我们一起要为耶稣基督传扬福音的人。
That's that idea of fellow.
这就是所谓同的意思。
So that's kind of the basic introduction to the book.
所以这就是这本书大概的一个背景。
In the advanced Bible study, that is the very first and minor assignment.
在这个圣经学院的进阶圣经课程里面呢，这个就是第一个作业。
But you can see how it gives us a reasonable understanding of the book as a whole.
但是你可以看到，就是当我们做完这些研究之后，我们更可以了解这本书在讲什么。
But that's not the goal of Bible study, is it?
但是我们研习圣经并不是只是要为了学习这些历史背景而已。
We study the word to be transformed by God.
我们学习神的话语是为了要被神的话语改造。
We study it so that we could live it out.
我们学习是为了要活出这个生命。
So we're going to look at two principles.
所以现在我们从这本书里面来看到两个原则。
The first is something that we could learn from the relationship between Paul and Philemon.
第一个是我们可以从保罗跟腓利门中间的关系学到一些事情。
Spiritual authority matters.
就是有一个所谓属灵的权柄。
But willingness matters more.
还有更重要的就是属灵的顺服。
Paul had what one scholar indicated as institutional power and influential power.
有一个学者说保罗他有两种力量，他一种是可以影响人的力量，另外一种是在这个组织里面领头的力量。
Paul is an apostle with significant spiritual authority over Philemon.
保罗是一个有属灵领导力跟这个就是属灵权柄的一个同工。
This institutional power.
就是在一个一群同工当中的一个架构。
He was pretty much considered an equal with one of the 12 original disciples.
他的地位可以说可以跟这个耶稣的一开始这些门徒算是同等的。
But Paul doesn't even mention that in this letter.
但是保罗在这封信里面并没有说这件事情。
Usually Paul opens his letters, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus.
他通常在写信一开始的时候就会说我是保罗，然后是耶稣基督的使徒。
A strong institutional authority.
就会讲到他就是为了要讲到他属灵的权柄，他才这样说。
I would say there's a reason he doesn't use that authority here.
那我会觉得他在这里呢，特别没有讲他是耶稣基督的使徒，这是有原因的。
Institutional authority is often questioned.
因为像这种权柄常常会被人质疑。
Perhaps Philemon would have reasoned this way.
可能收信人会这样子去狡辩。
Paul, he's just a disgraced Jew.
他可能会说保罗只不过是一个这个。Disgrace, 羞耻的犹太人。
He's been imprisoned by Rome.
因为他在罗马坐牢。
Why should I, a prominent business leader, listen to that guy?
我是一个有名望的基督徒的领导，而且还是生意人，为什么我要听他的呢？
I've got too much to lose to listen to some guy in jail.
这个是一个坐牢的人，我为什么要听他的呢？
I've got a family.
我可有家人呢。
I've got a business to run.
我还有生意呢。
Why should I listen to him?
万一听他的话出差错了怎么办呢？
I think this is why Paul relied on his influential power.
所以保罗在这边并没有把他的属灵权柄硬扣到腓利门身上，而是用他的影响力。
Why should Philemon listen to Paul?
为什么腓利门应该听保罗的呢？
Because Paul was an exemplary ambassador for Christ.
因为保罗作为耶稣基督的使徒是非常值得效仿的一个人。
Paul led by example.
他是按照他的这个言行去做一个身教。
And his example gave him authority that went beyond his institutional authority.
所以因为他有这个行出来的让别人去仿效的这样子一个模范，所以这个才是他真正属灵的权柄。
His institutional authority gave him this spiritual authority that he could demand this of Philemon.
其实他原本是有这个属灵权柄可以直接命令腓利门。
But to Paul,That willingness was significantly more important.
但是对保罗来说，被他牧养的人愿意打从心里面顺服，那是更重要的。
And this is clear from verses 8 through 10, and then again in verse 14.
这个在8到12节还有14节里面都有这样讲。
This is particularly important for us here at the Chinese Church.
我们在我们华人教会里面也是很重要学习的功课。
We don't have a head pastor.
因为我们现在并没有一个主任牧师。
There's no senior pastor that tells us what to do, that directs the vision of the church.
没有一个主任牧师来带领我们教会的意向，然后给我们分配工作。
There is no clear institutional spiritual authority.
在这边并没有一个非常清楚的属灵的权柄。
So on the one hand, we need a willingness to submit to one another.
所以呢，我们真的是需要打从心里面心甘情愿的去彼此顺服。
On the other hand, we need you to step up and lead the people around you.
另外就是需要每一个人站起来带领身边的人。
Consider the people in your sphere of influence.
你想想看你身边有哪些基督徒的朋友。
Who is going to challenge them to live like Christ?
你身边的朋友是不是需要你去激励他们过着更像耶稣的生活？
Who is going to specifically pray for that person on a regular basis?
你身边的朋友是不是需要你去常常为他祷告？
Somebody has to do it.
总是要有人做这件事情吧。
And that's us. We have to take that lead.
那就是每一个人，我们每一个人都要站起来回应这个呼召。
That is Paul's example.
这就是保罗给我们的的模范。
I was laughing at this in my preparation.
我在准备的时候我觉得很好笑。
I was amazed at Paul. He's in jail and what's he doing?
我觉得保罗在坐牢，可是他在牢里干嘛呢？
He's evangelizing.
他还在传福音。
He's praying for people.
他还在为人祷告。
What do you think I was thinking about when I was in jail?
你猜我在坐牢的时候我心里在想什么？
Getting out.
在想怎么出去。
Right?
是不是呢？
Paul, so much different, leading by example.
但是保罗真的是不一样，他是用身教来带领。
So that first principle is this.
所以这是我们第一个原则。
Spiritual authority matters.
属灵的权柄是非常的重要。
But willingness to submit matters more.
但是顺服的彼此，甘心情愿的彼此顺服呢是更加重要。
The other thing we learn is this.
那还有另外一件事情。
Christian influencers like Paul and Philemon take risks for the cause of Christ.
像保罗跟腓利门这样子的基督徒领导呢，他们在带领人的时候，他们是必须要冒个险的。
Christian leaders take risks for the gospel.
他们为了传福音的时候，他们是要冒着险的。
Paul risked his relationship with Philemon.
保罗给腓利门写这个信，可以说冒了一点险，就是冒犯腓利门的险。
There's no way that Philemon wanted to receive this letter.
腓利门可能非常不想要接到这封信。
He didn't want Onesimus back as a brother in the Lord.
他大概也不想要把这个欧尼西姆就是逃掉的一个奴隶当成是他的主内弟兄。
This was clearly going to cut into his profits.
这个可能也会让他损失一些利益。
It's going to cut into his family business, his financial security.
可能对他的金钱上面跟他的家庭都有影响。
Philemon would have been offended by this letter.
腓利门接到这封信的时候，可能会觉得被冒犯。
You know, my kids, they don't want to be told to brush their teeth.
我的孩子不喜欢我叫他们刷牙。
My kids, they don't want to be told to go to bed.
我也不喜欢我叫他们去睡觉。
Friends and coworkers and spouses, they don't always like constructive criticism.
我们身边的朋友或者是同事或者是配偶，并不一定常常想要我们跟他们讲这个规劝的事情。
There is some sort of a risk in challenging people to do better.
当我们挑战人做得更好的时候，就是要冒点险的。
Paul risked everything for these type of spiritual relationships.
保罗在做这种属灵的关系的建造的时候，常常都是要冒这种险。
Paul considered the eternal spiritual relationships significantly more important than any other type of relationship.
这是因为保罗认为两个人中间永恒属灵的关系比起属世的关系更重要。
So he took risks relationally.
所以他在这个关系上面有冒险。
But the other risks are financially.
另外一个就是在金钱上面有冒险。
Paul took a financial risk when he...basically gave Philemon free rein to charge whatever to his account just to make it right.
那保罗跟腓利门说，欧尼西姆欠你什么，就是算在我的账上。这样子，保罗其实也是冒了很大的险，是吧
？And Philemon took a hit financially, took a financial risk in having Onesimus come back as a brother.
那腓利门接纳欧尼西姆回来作为他主内的弟兄，这个他也是有所损失的。
Something that I learned in studying this was the play on words with the name Onesimus.
在这个希腊原文里面，其实是有一个文字游戏的，就是欧尼西姆的名字。
Onesimus means the one who is one who is helpful.
欧尼西姆的意思就是 可以帮助人的。
One who is one who is profitable or useful.
哦，有用的或者是有利益、有益处的。
But then you look at verse 11.
但是你看到十一节说什么呢
？Paul says that he was useless, but now he has become useful.
他说以前他是没有益处，现在与你我都有益处。
The issue for Philemon is this.
但对腓利门来说的问题是这样。
Onesimus was useful for a particular cause.
You mean before?
In general.
Oh, okay. 对腓利门来说，欧尼西姆是有一个特殊的功用的。
For example, in the beginning.
比如说一开始。
If Philemon is all about the cause of Christ, then Onesimus is useful.
如果腓利门心中想的是怎么样传福音，那么欧尼西姆就是有益的。
But if Philemon is all about the financial gain,
如果腓利门心里面想的是怎么样赚钱，
Onesimus is useless.
那么欧尼西姆就是没有用的。
Are you willing to lose money for the sake of Christ?
你是不是会愿意为了跟随耶稣而失去？一些益处，金钱上的益处。
Are you willing to lose money for the sake of unity and for the sake of peace among the fellowship of believers?
你是不是愿意为了弟兄姐妹之间的和平还有合一，放弃一些你的权利，甚至失去一些你本来可以得到的金钱
？What if a deal goes bad?
如果两个人中间有一些合作关系，但是后来失败了，怎么办呢？
What if you lose your job for the sake of Jesus?
或者是说你因为耶稣基督的缘故失去你的工作呢？
Have you beforehand decided that the cause of Christ is more important than financial stability?
我们是不是在之前已经要立定心智，就是跟随耶稣比起我们的财务的这个稳定是更重要？
What are you willing to give for the cause of Christ?
为了耶稣基督，我们愿意放弃什么东西？
Take financial risks for the cause of Christ.
为了耶稣基督冒这个财务的危险。
And I don't mean going to the casino or playing the lottery and promising to devote a small percentage to the church.
我的意思并不是叫你去赌场玩，然后下赌注，然后求神赐福之后就把一部分赢来赌金赐给教奉献给教会。我不是这个意思。
Invest in the kingdom of God.
我是说把你的金钱用来投资在神的国度里面。
In the English Bible study on Friday nights, we've kind of been joking around a certain theme.
在礼拜五晚上英文组的查经，我们有一个在讨论的笑话。
What is gold in heaven?
在天堂中，黄金是什么呢？你们知道黄金是什么吗
？Pavement.
就是地砖，铺地的。
That's it.
就是价值，就是铺地的。
I have a ton of pavement that I'd love for you to come break up and take out of my yard all this broken concrete.
我的这个院子里面有很多破掉的这个水泥，我很愿意大家都来把它拿走丢掉。
The kingdom of God is so much different.
因为神国里面是完全不一样的。
Let's not be afraid of giving away heaven's pavement.
所以在天堂里面的这个地砖呢，我们在地上也不要害怕把它给出去。
So the principles, of course, spiritual authority matters.
所以我们再回复一下，回顾一下。第一个就是属灵的权柄是很重要的。
But willingness matters more.
但是彼此甘心情愿的彼此顺服也是更重要的。
And to take risks for the gospel.
还有我们就是要为福音冒险。
Risk relationships for the sake of Jesus.
这个彼此关系冒犯彼此关系的这个险，为了耶稣基督。
Financial, relational, all sorts of things.
还有金钱上的各种各样的险。
This sermon was significantly difficult for me this week.
这个礼拜我在预备这个讲道的时候，我觉得特别的困难。
There is a tension between authority, spiritual authority, and willingness to submit.
我觉得在我们当中可能有一个张力，这个张力就是一股力量，一个就是属灵的力量，另外权柄，属灵的权柄，另外一个就是愿意顺服的心，这个中间是彼此有一些矛盾的。
It is hard to rely on influential authority rather than institutional authority if you have it.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
It is hard to rely on influential authority over institutional authority.
就是要我们选择去依靠这个影响力， 而不是选择去顺服属灵的权柄是比较困难。
This is particularly true with children.
这个对小孩子来说尤其是这样。
This is even more difficult if your children are teenage boys.
如果你的孩子是这个年轻的这个青春期的男孩，那更是如此。
On the one hand, the parent tells the child what to do.
父母会告诉孩子说你应该这么做。
But what is more important?
但是更重要的是什么呢？
The child has the willingness to obey.
这更重要的是就是孩子必须愿意顺服。
As a parent, I could demand that my children obey me.
这个父母呢，当然可以不停的要求我的孩子必须要顺服我。
And I'm sure you guys have recognized with the way that I parent, that's usually how it goes.
那我当父母的方式，我其实是蛮常常命令他们的。
Our kids are very well behaved.
那我的孩子其实都很挺乖的。
But what about that willingness?
但是那个心甘情愿的顺服。
How do I promote that in the children?
怎么样在孩子当中推广这样子的想法呢？
This week I felt like Philemon with a message from Paul.
这个礼拜我觉得腓利门书，这个是保罗给我们的信息。
Pastor Ricky gave me a book to read.
潘牧师给了我一本书让我看。
I hate to read.
我其实不喜欢看书。
And the book sucks.
那书也不好看。
But I submitted to Pastor.
但是我顺服牧师的属灵权柄。
And one word has convicted me in that book.
那么这本书里面其实有一个字跳出来，让我感到被定罪。
It's about the book, the chapter in particular is about dignity and oppression.
这本书里面有一章叫做尊荣和压迫。
I'm a very task-oriented person, as you guys know.
你们都知道我是一个比较对事不对人，就是我很注重把任务完成。
So when one of my children disobeys,
所以如果我的孩子不顺服我，
the simple task or the simple discipline is okay, more tasks.
那我给他们的处罚就是给他们更多事情去做。
You disobey, okay, you get more chores.
你如果不愿意做这个家事，我就给你更多家事。
Okay, you come home late for work, sure, you got to mop the floor.
如果你超过了门禁时间才回家，那你就拖地。
This doesn't take into account people's personalities.
像这样子的一种方式呢，没有考虑到人的个性。
And this particular child is terrible at doing chores.
那如果说这个某个孩子他是非常不擅长做家务，
which results in more and more chores.
那因为做了没做好，所以就给他更多家务。
More and more frustration in me.
那更多家务没做好，我也就感到更加的挫折。
More and more frustration in the child.
这个孩子也感到更加的挫折。
And things just melt down.
然后两个人关系就更加的糟糕。
What are we to do?
那怎么办呢？
Thank God for the transformational power of Jesus Christ.
感谢主，因为耶稣基督有改变人心的力量。
That's the solution.
这就是我们的解答。
How do we get out of this cycle?
怎么样从这样子的恶性循环当中出来？
How do I become a better parent?
怎么样成为更好的父母？
How does this person become a better child?
这个我们做孩子怎么样成为更好的孩子？
Jesus.
就是答案就是耶稣。
That's how.
耶稣就是我们的答案。
The one theme that I did not mention in here is Jesus.
在这边有一个主题非常重要，我刚刚没有说到，就是耶稣。
If you look in the book of Philemon, 25 verses, there is a reference to Jesus in there more than 10 times.
在腓利门书短短的25节里面，讲耶稣提到了十次。
It's because of who Jesus is, and it's because of what he has done that allows us to have these spiritual relationships that are transformational.
我们之间的属灵关系，还有我们可以彼此的影响跟改变，都是因为耶稣基督的关系。
Jesus is effective at what he is doing.
耶稣是非常的在行他的工作的。
I would encourage you don't take your kids to church. Okay, don't just take your kids to church. Take church home to your children.
我要鼓励大家，千万不要只是把孩子带到教会来，而是要把教会带回家给你的孩子。
Jesus helps us to be better parents.
耶稣帮助我们成为更好的父母。
He helps us to be better children.
他帮助我们成为更好的孩子。
Better employees, better students.
更好的员工，更好的学生。
He did not die just for our relationships to help us to have a good time with one another.
他为我们死不只是为了让我们彼此的很开心在一起玩而已。
Jesus didn't die so that we could just enjoy good Chinese food Sunday afternoons.
耶稣为我们死也不只是为了让我们来教会每个礼拜吃好吃的中国食物而已。
He died and rose so that we would have eternal spiritual relationships with one another.
他为我们死的其中一个目的就是让我们彼此之间有这个永恒属灵的关系。
It's always all about Jesus.
这就是一切都是有关于耶稣。
Our sin messes up these spiritual relationships.
我们中间的属灵关系是因为罪恶而破坏了。
Greed and covetousness.
还有贪婪。
These cause fights.
这些都造成我们中间的这个不和。
Lust promotes discontentment and distance, a lack of intimacy.
这个情欲跟色情造成夫妻之间的不满足。
And pride.Fuels disdain and oppression.
然后人的骄傲给我们带来压迫。
But Jesus died to set us free from these.
但是耶稣为我们死，让我们可以脱离这些。
And it's by His power that we could love one another much better.
靠着他的能力，我们可以更好的爱彼此。
Let us pray.
让我们来祷告。亲爱的天父主，我们感谢你。主是的，你确实是改变人的神。主，我们要降服在你面前，向你完全献上。主，当我们愿意顺服你的时候，我们就能够被你更加的改变。主，是的，就像当老在讲道里面说的，我们确实是有很多的罪，而且我们彼此的也常常不顺服，这是因为我们的骄傲。主，我们向你认罪。主啊，求你真的是把你谦卑的灵放在我们每个人当中，叫我们彼此来顺服。主也赐给我们彼此建造的心，主让我们可以看见怎么样帮助我们身边的弟兄姐妹，彼此的激励，一起来向着标杆直跑，为了要得耶稣基督召我们来得从上面来的赏赐。主，谢谢你，谢谢你，求你让这个讲道真正的激励我们，主，而不是让我们只是一下听了一下就忘了。主啊，求你接下来这个礼拜与我们同在，建造我们，叫我们建造彼此。祷告感谢奉靠主耶稣基督圣名，阿们。今天是一个月的第一个礼拜，所以我们要领圣餐。Today is the first week, first Sunday of the month, so we are going to take communion together. If you do not know what communion means, I will share with you from the Bible. The communion in the beginning was a Jewish festival called the Passover. 在一开始的犹太